Are you blessed this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Me too. Well, as our tradition is, we're praying about a theme. We want God to do some things in our house. And so every Sunday we read together this theme verse. And I'm going to share extensively out of it this morning. In fact, as we read that, you can read it there together with me. Let's go ahead and read it together now. Jesus brought this good news of peace to you who are far away from Him. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you also are being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Is that starting to get into your heart at all? Oh, I hope so. You begin to meditate on that. Now, this morning is Palm Sunday. You see the palm leaves I've got around our graphic there. This is Luke chapter 19. This is where I'm sharing out of today. And this is the traditional Palm Sunday passage, Luke 19. And you can follow along on the screen, or if you'd like to open your Bible there to Luke 19, you go ahead and do so. It says this, and when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples, go into the village opposite you, where you will enter and find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as they said to them. And they were loosing the colt. The owner said to them, why are you loosing the colt? He said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when they threw their clothes on the colt, they set Jesus on him. And he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you, your children within you to the ground. It will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple. And he drove out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless and anoint this message. God, I pray, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, what is your Spirit speaking today? Lord, I'm asking that you would even release right now an anointing upon me. Lord Jesus, that I can preach with authority and all boldness the word that you have put on my heart. That God, the same way you spoke to me, that you would speak to each and every heart in this place. Lord, we just thank you for your victory. We thank you for all that you've done, and even what we recognize in this holiday season, in this resurrection season, in this Easter holiday, God, we just pray you bless this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody say, amen. Amen. You may take a seat. Everybody say, prepare for the King. As Minister Leah shared a moment ago, next week we're gonna feature the King is coming, and we've got a real special message there. But you know, this morning I really wanted to prime our heart. It's interesting. I don't know if you've ever read all of that passage there in Luke, but I've never heard anybody on Palm Sunday. We read about, you know, Jesus' triumphant entry. We read about them laying out the coats on the ground. We read about the palm branches being laid out. But I find it interesting. I've never heard anybody else put in this next part, because the very next thing that Jesus does is he goes and he weeps over the city. He's just been received by all of his disciples. He's just been praised for the mighty works and wonders that are going on. And then he stands outside the city before he goes in and he weeps over them, saying, "You missed the hour of your visitation." Now, church, I don't know about you, but I know that God is doing something in this day and age. I know that we are in this last day that Acts 2 talked about, where God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. When you hear from guys like Nathan Morris, and he's been traveling the world, and you hear about the wondrous things that God is doing all around the world, and not just overseas, but he's doing it all across the United States. I'm telling you, church, God is up to something, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what God is doing. Jesus here is weeping over a people who missed their opportunity. And then I find it interesting, he moves then into the temple. He begins to overturn tables, because I shared about it a few weeks ago. What really was going on there is these were individuals who were rejecting the sacrifices that generally poorer individuals were bringing into the house of God. Your sacrifice isn't good enough here. You need to buy from us. They were essentially stealing from the poor. They were stealing from those who could not bring an appropriate form of worship to the Lord. And Jesus was ticked about it. In fact, we read in one of the Gospels that Jesus, he literally went outside and he sewed together he made a whip, and he came in and he laid that whip on the backs of people. Jesus was upset with that whole thing. This is all part of the Palm Sunday message. Did you ever know this? I mean, we read about, oh, Hosanna, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But here's my deal. We're preparing for God to do something. We are prepared. Why do you think we've made so much work? We've been chopping stuff down and we've been repainting everything. So many of you guys, thank you for helping and doing this in the next few. How do you like the backdrop? This looks good, huh? And you know, these are all small things, but I really want to create a house that is fit for a king. And even on another level, this is why we gather for early morning prayer. I've been thrilled at the turnout at early morning prayer. Sometimes we have 15 and 17 and even up to 20 individuals showing up every morning for early morning prayer. Guy, I know you grew up with this kind of culture, but do you know that most churches don't do stuff like that? You might have one prayer meeting a week in the evening at a time that's convenient, and you'll have a dozen people show up maybe for that. Most of them are staff members who are made to be there. But to have people that are here on a volunteer basis simply because they're hungry, you know what we're doing? We're preparing for the King. We're making way for the King to come. I used to have this recurring dream years ago where you know, this is whenever I was first beginning to pastor. It was the first church that we began to pastor. And I have this dream, and I have it like once a week, where in the dream I would go and I would be praying with our worship team and our leadership team in the green room right before service. And as I was there and I was praying and we were getting ready, it struck me while we were there in the back room, I forgot to prepare a sermon. This was a nightmare, okay? I forgot to prepare a sermon. And so I start like scrambling. Do I have something ready that I could just, can I just wing it? Spirit of God, would you just lead me? I just remember the panic and the fear of being. Have you ever been unprepared for something? I'll never forget one. This is hilarious. I hope my mom is watching this, because I wonder if she remembers this. On one occasion, she invited one of her coworkers to come, her and her family to come over to our house for dinner. Okay? Now, the problem was there was about a month between the invite and the date. And I'll never forget one night, me and my family, we're all sitting around the table and like we're eating grilled cheese and like potato chips, okay? And then all of a sudden we hear a knock on the door and we look up and my mom freaks out. She had forgot that that was the night that this entire family was supposed to come over. You know, we're sitting there with our you know, simple dinner, and they've got like pot roast and all this kind of stuff. We were supposed to have a nice meal, but we completely forgot. So I remember my mom getting up and really fast trying to pull something together. She wasn't prepared for the guests. She was not prepared for the guests. Anybody ever have a dream where you like you show up to school or you show up to work and then you look down and you realize you're not dressed, you're not prepared, you're not ready? That's another dream that I've had, like just, you know, driving, I'm like to an important business meet. This is like, I don't know, God speaks through this kind of stuff. You go to a meeting and you realize that I've had this where I'm wearing a real nice suit or something like that, tie and everything, and I look down and I'm wearing like dirty sneakers or something, and I'm not prepared. But here's the deal, when you look at this verse right here, when you look at this verse, in verse 37, and this is in Luke, that passage we just read there, when he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, everybody say the disciples, they began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen. See, there were some that were prepared. They were the disciples. There was a multitude of disciples who had had personal relationship with Jesus. They were prepared for the coming of the King. And then you continue in verse 41. It says, as he drew near, this is Jesus, and he saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, you did not know the time of your visitation. There were some who missed it. And sadly, church, if you look at these are all people who knew the messianic prophecies. These were all individuals who probably attended the temple worship. They knew that they were to be looking for a king, but they missed the hour of their visitation. There were some who missed it. But then I think it's interesting. Jesus turned his focus. He acknowledged those who had received him, who worshiped him. That's where we get this whole Palm Sunday idea. Then he cried, he wept over those who missed it. But then watch what he does. He goes into the temple and he turns his focus to the church. He turns his focus to the temple, into the worship, into the house of God. And I'm telling you, church, God is already doing something around the world. God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And guess what? We're going to be blessed by it. We're going to see increase. We're going to receive miracles. But I'm telling you, the only way that the world is going to be impacted, listen carefully, the only way that the world is going to be impacted by what God is doing in this day and age is if the church gets its act in order. This is what Jesus did. Some of the disciples got it. Some of us are going to get it. Most of them missed the hour of the visitation. And I'm telling you right now, most of even West Maui itself, most of West Maui is going to miss. If the King were to show up today, more than half. I mean, I hate to even guess at how many people would miss the appearing of Jesus. They would miss revival if it showed up in this place. And what's going to make the difference? Do we as a church have our act in order? Are we prepared for the King? This is what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18. And he said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. He has given us kingdom authority to do this. You don't ever have to wonder, church. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I know God wants to do something, but I don't think we're ready. I don't think we're anointed enough to do this. I don't know if I have the strength enough to do this. Guess what? You don't, we don't, we aren't, but Jesus is. And if he has given us the authority, if he has given, you understand the keys. Keys represent authority. It represents access. What are you going to let in? What are you going to force to go out? I mean, I've got keys to my house. You have keys to your house. You can't take your keys and drive my car. You can't take your keys and drive my Harley, right? But if I give you my keys, what am I doing? I'm giving you the authority, the ability to be able to access something that belongs to me. And so when God says, when Jesus says, I'm going to build my church and I'm going to give you the keys to be able to do this. I'm going to give you the keys to permit and to forbid things in the heavens and on the earth. That's why we pray that way every morning in early morning prayer. There are spirits that are operating that are contrary to God. And we're saying, no, we're not going to allow addiction or perversion or a lying spirit. We're not going to allow a spirit of death or a spirit of fear. These are things that we pray about every single morning. And I'm telling you, churches, you come within the house of God, you have the ability to step into those liberties. He's given us keys. He's given us authority. He's given us power. Okay? And so we look at this. And I just wanted to remind you about some of the things that have been spoken over this house, okay? There's been words that have been spoken about revival that is going to come. Are you standing on this word that Hawaii is going to be the first Christian state? I mean, do you believe that God could do something like that? I believe that He could start it right here in Lahaina. That He could start it right here in West Maui. In fact, that was one of the words that was given. I just want to remind you of these things because this is why. What are we preparing for? What are we getting ready for? What are we making room for? One word that terrifies me, I'm not even sure how adamantly I want to agree with it, but somebody said there would be a day where we're running 7 services on a weekend. Are you ready for that? Well, you know what we're doing by going to 2? We're working out. We're stretching. We're getting ready. We're preparing for the King. We're preparing for the King. There's been another word about a tsunami wave of revival that's going to hit this island. I'm sharing this to remind you guys about what God intends to do. This is a word that I received, my wife and I, before we came here. I come here and I share this word and I'll never forget. There were 3 people that were weeping the first Sunday that I shared that because God had given similar words over the years or shown them personally similar things. This is what God intends to do, to hit this island with a massive wave of revival. One of my favorite words that I'm standing on is that God is going to release a healing revival here in West Maui. So significant that what's going to happen is the same way that right now we have people that come and tour this island just to see the beauty of the island. They come and tour this place so they can see Black Rock and so they can do the road to Hana and they just want to see the island. In the same way, there's going to be a time where people come to Maui to simply see what God is doing in revival. Do you believe that? We're preparing for the King. We're making ready for what the King desires to do right here. One other thing, and this is really simple. But when we were coming here, I knew Dr. Morocco was going to put assignments on me. I mean, he's asking me to do a school. And it was like this first, I think it was literally the first staff meeting. We hadn't even unpacked our house yet. And he's like, Pastor Jacob, I know you have an anointing for evangelism and I want to send you to all of the islands so we can get the event. And I was thankful because Pastor Janelle was right there. And she's like, Dad, he just got here. You can't start sending him around the world yet. And you know, give him some months, you know, to build. But this is the deal. As much as I want to do that, my assignment coming here, our assignment is very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. This is what the Lord told me as we were coming here, that He wants to build a great church in West Maui. Amen. He wants to build a great church in West Maui. He wants to build a great church right here. And so even as I look at all of the things, all of the words, I know that God wants to build a great church right here. And you know what was awesome? I've been working through Dr. Morocco's books. I've been rewriting them to get them published online so you can download them off Amazon and in the iBook store and all this kind of stuff. And so I've been working through all of those. And in his book, Miracle on Maui, it's a testimony about what God did here in Maui, how He came to this island and God multiplied in the first year the church 7 times over. Incredible move of the Spirit. But God, these are the 2 things that God put on His heart. He said, first of all, He's like, God, this was so simple. He's like, this is what God told Him. I want to build a great church in Maui. That was the word that God put in Dr. Morocco that had him move here. I'm going to build a great church in Maui. It's the same word that he put on my heart about this area, about West Maui. And I'm telling you, church, we're pressing towards 30,000 disciples. We're believing for 300 extensions by the year 2020. And I'm saying, God, what's our part in that? How many of those extensions are we going to be responsible for? How many of those disciples? I'm praying for at least 500 of those disciples. And you understand, when we say disciples, that doesn't just mean people attending during the week. I'm talking about people involved in a ministry or in a life group. Now, how are we going to do this? I've got some practicals for you this morning. How are we going to prepare for the King? I want you to look again at our theme verse. I think I've got the slide there. This is part of our theme verse, okay? This is what we're believing God is going to do in our church. It says, you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You know you're a member of this family? You're a member of this family? Together, we are His house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you are being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. This is how we're going to prepare for the King. Again, remember what Jesus did on Palm Sunday. He was received by His disciples. Wonderful. They knew who He was. But most of the people missed Him. And so His focus went to the church. He rebuked them for not being a house of prayer. He flipped over some tables. They were stealing from the poor. I mean, He was beginning to get the church in order. So that's where I'm going to go this morning. I know most of you are disciples of Jesus. You love Jesus. You know Him. But there's a lot of people right around us in our spheres of influence that are missing it. And I believe the answer is building a strong church. So this is how we're going to do it. Are you with me this morning? Here's number one. We are going to prepare the ground. Prepare the ground. This is the first thing. This is foundational. We're going to make our foundation strong. This is all in our theme verse right here. Look at verse 20. It says this, together we are His house built on the foundation. Everybody say foundation. Of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. The cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. So what we're looking at essentially here is, how do we establish the foundation? You know, we've got the apostles and prophets. That's really pretty much talking about, God spoke through prophets in the Old Testament. That's where most of the Bible comes from, most of our Old Testament scripture. God raised up prophets who would speak to and lead the people. But then in the New Testament, we have the apostles, and they were the foundational, they were the foundation for the New Testament church. But here's the crux of the matter. Jesus is the cornerstone of all. I'll preach from the Old Testament. I'll preach from the New Testament. I think it's all wonderful. We need this whole book, right? But Jesus Himself is the cornerstone. In fact, look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Just listen to this right here. It says, we are God's fellow workers. You are His field. You are His building. Are you getting this concept? Of the temple, of the church. We are the church. We are the temple. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, this is Paul speaking, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Everybody say foundation. And another one builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Who is the foundation? You guys are getting it. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. The day will declare it. That's the day of judgment. Because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work it built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Or as The PJV, the Pastor Jacob version, is by the skin of your teeth. You'll make it into heaven, but yet so as through fire, or by the skin of your teeth. You're going to make it in there, but you won't have a lot to show for it. Let me simplify that. I know that's a lot of imagery. Paul is saying, I built a foundation. I'm building on this foundation that is Jesus Christ Himself. Everything we do, everything we say is built on Jesus. If it's not about Jesus, we're not doing it. Okay? We can't have a program. If you come to me with a ministry idea and we cannot somehow say, well, this is how it connects people to Jesus, or this is how it gives glory to Jesus, we're just not going to do it. Now, there's a lot that we can do that'll give glory to Jesus, but make sure, even now, are you in a ministry? Are you over a ministry? Is it glorifying Jesus? Is he the foundation? Is he the cornerstone of everything that you're doing? But then he says this. So we all have Jesus as our foundation, even personally. As a church we do, as ministries we do, personally, we have Jesus as our foundation. Is Jesus your foundation? Is he your rock, your fortress, your everything? Oh, I hope so. And so we build upon that foundation. And this is, he talks about how the day of judgment will declare. And he says you can build of things of gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, or wood, hay, and straw. Now, what happens if you bring fire to wood, hay, and straw? It's burned. It's consumed. All you're left with is ashes at the end of it. What happens if you bring fire to gold, silver, or precious stones? What will happen, yeah, it's refined. That's a perfect word for it. If you bring enough fire to precious metals, what will happen is it will be melted down to the point where it's even liquefied. In fact, there's a process here that jewelers would be aware of, that what they do is they take this substance that's called flux. Everybody say flux. Yeah, they take flux and they put it into now melted gold, let's say. And what happens is the flux is it's less dense than what gold is. I'm explaining some things. You guys check with me for a second. It's less dense than what gold is. So what happens is the flux will attach to anything that is not gold. It'll attach to, iron. It'll attach to copper. It'll attach to zinc. It'll attach to anything in there that is not pure gold, right? And what'll happen is the flux, since it's less dense, as it is melted, it'll eventually rise up to the surface. And what the jeweler or what the goldsmith or whoever's working on it will do is they'll take, and after it's hardened, they will scrape off the top layer of that. And what they're left with now is they get rid of all of the dross is the name. Say dross. Are you guys getting these terms? You're gonna be a goldsmith by the end of this. Okay. So you take the flux, attaches to the impurities brought to the surface. That's the dross. Scrape off the dross, and now you're left with purified gold. And they may repeat that process time and time and time and time again. In fact, maybe you've heard the illustration, but this is true. The way a goldsmith would know that the gold had been appropriately purified is when they look into the gold as it's liquefied, they will literally come to a place where they can see their own reflection in it. And so this is the kind of process that God will even take us through. What are we building on the foundation? We know we've got Jesus. Guess what? Praise God, you get to go to heaven. But are you going to come in by the skin of your teeth, or are you going to come in with something to show for the life that you lived for Jesus? Not everybody's going to be equal in heaven. Did you know this? Never forget my Bible school instructor screaming at me, make sure you're not mowing my lawn when you get into heaven. He wanted to make sure, because we'll all receive a reward, or some won't. You'll still be saved, yet so as through fire. You barely made it in. All the things that you built and you worked towards and you built, if it's of temporary value, it's going to be consumed on judgment day. But if we build things of eternal value, if we go through this refining process to the point where literally we look in and we see the face of Jesus reflecting back at us, I'm telling you, church, when we get into heaven, even the works that we've done, even if they're not perfect, they're going to be purified as we step into heaven, and we're going to receive a reward. This is all preparing the foundation for what God wants to do. So I want you to examine your own life. I want you to examine your ministries. I want to examine, what are you active in? Are we laboring towards things of eternal value, or are we laboring towards things of temporal value? I was talking with a family. These guys work insane hours, hardly have time to spend with one another. And I told Leah, I'd rather be poor but have time with people rather than build wealth that, for what? I mean, church, think about it. I want you to be wealthy. I want you to be successful in your job, but not at the expense of building things of eternal value. Have you ever seen a U-Haul following a hearse? You guys hear what I'm saying? You know what a hearse is. It's the, you know, somebody dies, they put them in the hearse and they drive them to the grave. You ever see a U-Haul following that? No, because you came into this world naked. You're going to leave naked. You're not taking anything with you. The only thing you're going to have to show for yourself is, did you build anything of eternal value? Anything. And let me just clue you in. Most of that has to do with people. Most of it has to do with people. I'm not taking this building. We want to make a house fit for a king. We want to make a house that will host as many people. But that's what it is. It's about Jesus at the foundation, and it's about touching as many lives as we can. That's why we're doing all this work. That's why we give. That's why we're building a great church. That's why we show up for prayer meeting. Jesus is the foundation, and we want to touch people. If it ever becomes about building my kingdom or my reputation, God's not, you want to know, when I get to heaven, He's not going to care about how big my 501c3 is. He's not going to care about how much money I have in the bank. None of that's all temporal. It's all going to burn. But what will matter, who am I bringing with me? What did we do in the world today? Did we build His church, a church that the gates of hell would not prevail against? All right, let's move on. I don't want to get mean. I want to be encouraging. Are you guys with me this morning? Are you happy? Smile at me. Smile. There you go. You guys look good. All right. Here's the next thing. We need to prepare the walls. We need to prepare the walls. Look at verse 21 of our Ephesians 2 text. It says this, we are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. You want to know how we're going to build the walls for the house of God? We need each other. We need to work with one another together. I shared this during our 21 days of prayer and fasting, but I want to remind you, 1 Peter 2:5 says, you are living stones that God is building together into His spiritual temple. He's building us together into His spiritual temple. During the 21 days of prayer and fasting, I talked about the difference between somebody who builds with bricks and somebody who builds with stones. With bricks, if you're building a wall, it doesn't matter. You can go and grab any brick out of the pile. You can stick it anywhere. You slap the mortar down. You put the bricks on it, and there you get a wall. But living stones are different. When you take stones, you have to take and you have to examine each and every one. What is the shape and where does it fit? It might not fit right here. It might fit over here. And so you find a place, and that's what God said He's doing with each and every one of us. You're going to always feel pressure in this church. Let me help you. If you're not involved in a ministry, if you're not in a life group, you're going to feel irritated in this church because we're going to constantly be bugging you. Because listen, I don't want you just sitting in the temple. I want you to be a part of the temple. I want you to become a living stone that we take and then we say, you know what? I think you'd fit really well in the worship ministry. You've got great compassion. I really feel like you'd be good in the intercession ministry. Or you don't speak English. I think you'd be good in the Filipino ministry. You know, I don't know. But I'm telling you, God's built each and every one of us a little bit different. We're all living stones, and God has a place for you in His temple. We need one another. If we're going to build, we're going to build these walls so we can be the dwelling place of God Almighty. As I said, we're praying for 30,000 disciples. And I don't know, maybe 500's not enough. But I believe that at least for this location, I don't know where we could be by the year 2020. But I'm telling you, it doesn't hinge. Again, I said it doesn't hinge on our ministries. It doesn't hinge on me. It doesn't hinge on any. But it's going to be us together. Have we built together? Are we built on the foundation of Jesus, on the foundation of the Word, the prophets and the apostles? And are we building together? Are we looking to one another, building together in each and every one of these areas? I think it's interesting. I had a great accomplishment just about 3 weeks ago. I don't know if any of you have ever done this, but this was a real feat for me. Me and my father-in-law, we sat down together on one of our days off, and we watched all of the Lord of the Rings trilogy in one sitting. The extended versions, not the normal version. I mean, like Return of the Kings, like 4 hours or something ridiculous like that. I mean, but we did it, man. We sat down. We were tired. I really felt accomplished after. I still feel accomplished by that. Has anybody else ever done this? Okay, Mark has. Well, praise God. So we're the only ones. All right. You guys need to try it. It'll stretch you. It'll test you. By the way, that's not of eternal value. But, you know, here's one thing that I notice about this whole story as I was watching this. Most of you have seen the movies at one point in time. You know, I think it's interesting. These guys had a simple mission. They got to take this little ring and go throw it in the volcano, Mountain Doom, right? Take the ring, throw it in the volcano. That sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's just amazing the resistance that they had. And so what ends up happening is they form the Fellowship of the Ring. I'm showing my nerd right now. They form the Fellowship of the Ring. It took a team of people. In fact, there were entire armies, entire cities that worked together to accomplish that small mission, right? And I'm telling you, church, we've got a simple mission. What do we do? Love people. Build the church. Make sure people make it into heaven, right? I mean, this is our mission is so simple. Jesus left us with such a simple mission. But I'm telling you, it'll only be accomplished if we work together. We need to form the Fellowship of the Gospel. I don't know. I didn't think about that. The Fellowship, not of the ring, but the Fellowship of Jesus. The Fellowship of Lahaina. I don't know. Never mind. We're not. Okay. Let's move on. Last point this morning. You doing good? We are, here's the last thing. We're going to prepare for the king. We need to prepare the house. We need to prepare the house. We built the foundation. We built the walls. And let me just tell you, some of you are already wondering. This is my last point. But some of you are wondering, well, Pastor, don't we need a roof on this thing? And let me tell you exactly what the roof is. This is our spiritual covering. And there's not going to be a one-time building of the roof. You want to know where we build that roof every day? Is in the place of prayer. When we come together for early morning prayer, this is where we establish the atmosphere. It's where we establish our covering. Are we going to allow holes to come in this thing and the enemy to come in for flooding to come? Or are we going to establish a covering? That's going to happen every single day through prayer. But once we have the foundation set, we have the ground prepared. Once we prepare the walls, we're beginning to work together and build together. We've got our covering in the spirit in the prayer. Then what we can do is we can begin to prepare the interior. We begin to prepare the house. And this is a wonderful, this is a fun time. This is what the Bible says in verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 2. You are also made part of the dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. You are being made part of the dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. How many of you want God living in this house? I want God in this house. As we were, my wife and I sat down and we were thinking about two services. It's like, is there anything else that we need to do? I mean, we were really thinking through this. And I'm like, no, I think we've got everything together here. We just need God to show up. And her response was full of faith immediately. She says, of course He will. We've made ready for Him. Of course He's going to show up. God likes steps of faith, you know. And guys, we're taking territory. Some of you may not. Let me just say, I keep on saying things like, some of you may not understand it. But, you know, I've not had one person push back on this two-service transition. I just love. I can already tell you guys are people of great faith. You guys are people that want to take territory. And I don't know if that's Dr. Morocco. I mean, he's got crazy vision. Vision that I'm still trying to grab a hold of. Vision that I mean, I watch him go cross-eyed sometimes thinking about it, you know. But I'm just telling you, we're taking territory. And I'm so glad that you guys are along for this ride. But we're going to prepare a place that is fit for a king. We're going to make this a place where God wants to live by His Spirit. He wants to dwell here by His Spirit. You know, you can determine whether something lives in a house or not by the way you prepare it. You can determine whether something lives in the house. My wife made reference a little bit earlier to the fact that, you know, we've seen some bugs and maybe even a rodent or two in our house recently. And you know, we were talking with the exterminator the other week, and he said, listen, he's like, this is really simple. He's like, every rodent, every rat, every mouse, they need three things for survival. They all need three things. First of all, they need shelter, which we can't really do anything about that, right? They like this building, and we're not getting rid of the building, and so, you know, so can't do anything about that. The other two things, they need shelter, they need food, and they need water. They need food and they need water. And so he told us, he's like, you better get rid of the food in this place and you better make sure there's no standing water. If you do that, they're going to get sick of this place and they're going to leave. Why? Because we're setting up a house that is not built for mice. Right? That's why we've made some of you take home your food. Take home your candy, bring it for your ministry, you know. But listen, I don't want an atmosphere for mice. I don't want an atmosphere for rats. I don't want an atmosphere for bugs, you know. Are you guys hearing me on this tonight, this morning? You know, and so in the same way, you know, there's things that we can do to prepare an atmosphere that is inviting to Holy Spirit. I mean, I could preach a whole series just on that concept right there. I mean, we could talk about unity. God likes to dwell in unity in a people that are unified in one accord. God likes appropriate levels of leadership and honor in leadership. God likes those things. You ever notice when Jesus multiplied food on one occasion? Some people miss this detail, but what he did is he actually made the people sit down in rows in groups of 50s and hundreds. Have you ever seen that? Guys, God is a God of order. He likes order. I'm okay with like the charismatic chaos every so often. You know, yeah, let's have just battle zone down here in the altar. Lay hands on everybody. This person's shaking. That person's manifesting demons. I like that kind of stuff, okay? But there's an order to it. Have you ever stopped to pray in like your personal prayer closet? And just as you're beginning, you feel like, I need to make the bed before I do this. Or I need to clean up, you know, I need to, why is this all crooked here? Does anybody else do that? You know, this, I would suggest if anybody has a serious relationship with God, and I might sting some of you right here, but if you have a relationship with God and you get serious in the place of prayer, I would imagine that probably every one of you have had those moments where it's like, I need to straighten up a little bit before I really engage the heavenlies. You don't want to know why that is? Because our God is a God of order. He's a God of order. And so if we go in and I've got piles of clothes and my bed's a wreck and all this kind of stuff is going on in the house, there's a reason. There's a conviction that comes from God Almighty. And so anyway, parents, you can use that on your kids. We want a house that's fit for a king. You clean up your room. Get the junk out of here, okay? Holy Spirit has preferences. He has preferences. And so, holiness. God doesn't like sin. It'll create a separation between us and God. God likes servanthood. He likes servanthood, people who will serve and give of themselves. God likes prayer. God dislikes sin. He dislikes chaos. I could probably preach for the next year about what God likes and what God does not like. But if you just get in your word for a little bit, you just pray and seek him, you're gonna see real quickly exactly what God likes. Well, I'm closing. Why don't we have our worship team come? We're going to do something special this morning. And you see, we've got communion set up. We like to do this on Ohana Sunday anyway. But I really felt like this was going to be an important moment because, you know, one thing that Jesus did, one thing that you'll see with Scripture is every time there was a transition, right? Every time, you know, when Noah got off of the ark, the first thing that he did was he took some of the animals, he built an altar, he sacrificed it, he established covenant with God. Everybody say covenant. Abraham, when he made a covenant, he came to Abraham. Talked about, I'm going to make you the father of a multitude of nations. The very first thing that he had him do, he took an animal, cut it down the middle. We read about the smoking flax that goes in between. He established covenant with Abraham. You know, one of the things that God did, that Jesus did, it was right after this, you know, he prepared the upper room and he prepared that to receive the Last Supper with his disciples. He was establishing a new covenant. We were going to see the old covenant, the law, pass away. And what he was going to do is he was going to establish a new covenant in his blood for us. A new way by which we could be saved. Why we could be born again. We could be cleansed and made new. And I felt like it was really important as we talk about preparing the house. Preparing the walls. Preparing the foundation. We're all preparing for the king to come. I felt like it was going to be very important for us to make sure that our heart is reestablished in covenant. I want us all personally to check our hearts. And Jesus, are you still the foundation and the cornerstone of everything in my life? Everything in my family, everything in my ministry. We're even going to begin to pray. And God, is everything we're doing as a church, are you the foundation of it? Is it bringing you glory? Is it drawing people nearer to you? That's checking the foundation. We're preparing for the King. And so I just want to lead us in a moment of prayer before our ushers come. Just so you know, everybody is welcome to receive this. As long as you have made a personal decision for Jesus Christ, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be a member of this church. We just ask that you're a member of the church, okay? You've made Jesus your Lord. You're welcome to receive this with us. And we're going to pass these elements. You're going to take it, hold it in your hands, and we'll receive it together in just a moment. But just before we do that, I want everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room. The Bible talks about how there are individuals who have become sick in their body and have even died because they do not treat this holy table the way that they ought to. They don't receive the Lord's Supper with honor in their heart. And what I want to do is I just want to make sure we're gonna renew our commitment to the Lord here this morning. But I want to know if there's somebody here and you say, you know what, Pastor? I don't know if Jesus is the foundation of my life. I'm built on pleasure. I'm built on wealth. I'm built on sin. I'm built on popularity or friendship. Is Jesus Christ the foundation of your life? If he's not, it's so simple. All we have to do is ask him to come, to be our Lord. That means that he directs and he rules our life. And to be our Savior, that means that he rescues us from our sin. And he can do that today. And so if you're here and you say, Pastor, I want Jesus to be the foundation of my life. I'm built on some things that aren't him, but I want Jesus to be first, foremost in everything in my life. If I'm talking to you, nobody's looking around right now. But if you say, I need to pray that prayer. I need to make sure that Jesus is my foundation in every area of my life. I just want you to lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying for this morning. I see that. I see that. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Others. I see you in the back there. God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? Anybody else? Okay. I want everybody to pray this with me right now. Pray, dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I have sinned. I've fallen short of your high and your holy standard. But I thank you. You sent your Son, Jesus, to shed his blood for me and to die in my place. Thank you for taking my sin and washing me clean. I ask you today to be my Savior, to be my Lord, the King of my life, my very best friend. I ask you, Lord, fix my foundation. Anything that's not of you, help me to rebuild it. You are my cornerstone. You're my foundation. You're my everything. And I thank you, Lord, for doing a great work in my life. In your precious name I pray. Amen.